back years ago, and this is back in the charismatic movement, back in the 80s, you always had your favorite preachers. I remember back then I was listening to Copeland and Mumford, and one of the ones that really caught me was Dr. Lester Sumrall. When one of your mentors was Smith Wigglesworth, how many know that kind of that holds some weight? And one of the things that he would do at the end of each year, he would begin seeking the face of God, and God would begin giving him glimpses of things the body of Christ could do to prepare for the next year. He said, this is some things that God's going to do. Here is how you position yourself to flow with the kingdom. I thought that was one of the neatest things. And then, you know, you're kind of praying. And in my youth, I said, Lord, I'd like to do that. And I kept on praying that for about 10 to 12 years. Lord, I want that in my life. And about 1991, 1992, God began to really impress me. The last 2 weeks of the year, I shut down the school. I just tried to get alone with God and just really kind of put out my spiritual feelers, if you will, just to seek the face of God. God, what's coming next? And since about 1991, 1992, I have to go back in my diaries to find just exactly what year it kicked in. God has, without fail, begun to place things into my spirit that not has only been here locally, wherever I was, but was globally some things that God was going to do. And without fail, this week, or over the last couple of weeks, God has begun speaking some things to my heart. In fact, I really worked hard to get my normal sermon done this morning, and God wouldn't let me do it. And I've been one that if God isn't speaking, I can't fake it. I'd just rather come up here and put on a videotape of somebody else preaching under the anointing than me to try to get up here without God's anointing on me. And this is part of the word that God gave to me, that 2010 will be the year of the biblical turnaround. This turnaround anointing will be made available to those who have ears to hear and will work with my spirit. For the diligent, this turnaround anointing will release a breakthrough anointing in their lives. And so I want to break this down just a little bit for us to understand some things. Because there are abuses right now in the body of Christ. That you want God to move? Write a check. This has absolutely nothing to do about writing a check unless you have not been giving when God's told you to give. You haven't been tithing. And the Holy Spirit may tell you it's time to play catch up because you owe me some money. Amen. And there are times that God has done that in my life, that he has told me to give to certain things or to certain people even above the tithe. And I say, well, Lord, you know, I'll get to that as soon as things kind of get better. You know, and I've always been faithful with the tithe. And then I eventually come to the place, he said, boy, I told you to give here, I told you to give here, and I told you to give here, and that total sum was this. Now you're not going a step further until you go back and be obedient to me. And that's the difference. And with check writing, guys, there are some people in the body of Christ like Rod Parsley that I have the utmost respect for. But if you ever listen to his story, it's he's saying, I was praying and God told me to sow this seed. God told me to do this. You see, that's the pivotal thing. It's not a man telling you, like I'm doing a Ronco commercial, and if you write your biggest check today, you're going to get this. If any man tells you, you're opening yourself up to Gnosticism. In fact, in the Didache, which is the earliest writing besides the New Testament that we have, it says that if a prophet comes to town or an apostle comes to town and he says, okay, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to have a big feast in my honor, and we're going to feast and we're going to eat real big and everything, it says he's a false prophet. He's a false apostle. And we have gotten into Gnostic things because that's what the Gnostics would do. You want my revelation? Give me coin. Jesus said, you have been given freely, freely give. And so it's time to get back. And I think one of the things that it does, guys, We have gotten into this vicarious type of faith that if, let's say, Patrick is in ministry and that he's praying, he's fasting, he's seeking, God's beginning to move through him, I don't have to do any of that. All I got to do is write a check and give it to him, and I get all the benefits of all his prayer and all his dedication and all his discipline to God. That's false. What I need to look at is, how much time are you praying? How much time are you in the Word of God? What corrections has God made in your life? And see if they apply to my life and begin following the same discipline. Amen? Nobody can pray for you but you. Nobody should be... Any time that a prophet or anybody comes and gives you a word, it should supplement what God is already telling you. The only time it should be absolutely new news is if you're not saved, because you can't hear from God anyway. So I want to go to Isaiah chapter 42, verses 20 through 24. In fact, I want to start and do what a lot of people do. I just want to use verse 22 of Isaiah 42. But this is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are snared in holes, and they are hidden in prison houses. They are for prey, and no one delivers, for plunder, and no one says restore. If you take that out of context, you just take that one snippet, and I've heard ministers preach this, that the body of Christ is being plundered, and I have been called here to tell the devil to give back what he's stolen from you. Restore, because that's what, you know, it's like, you know, the enemy's been plundering. He's put you in a prison house. And so, but there's nobody to move under the prophetic anointing to call out to restore what the enemy has stolen. Have you ever heard that preached like that? Anytime you take a scripture out of context, you end up with a pretext. And I'm going to hammer this into you guys until you guys can say it in your sleep. You always got to put things back into the biblical context of what it says. So let's jump up to verse 20, and now let's put it back into the context of what is being said here. Seeing many things, but you do not observe, opening the ears, but he does not hear. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake, and he will exalt the law and make it honorable. But this people is robbed and plundered. All of them are snared in holes, and they are hidden in prison houses, for they are prey, and no one delivers. For plunder, and no one says restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will listen and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for plunder and Israel to the robbers? Was it not the Lord? He against whom you have sinned, for you have walked away, or you have not walked in his ways, and nor were obedient to his law. Okay, set it back in context. Their disobedience opened the door for the enemy to plunder, to put them in prison houses, to steal from them. How many have ever felt like it just don't matter what you do, ain't nothing going to go right? And it's like that right now in what I'm seeing in the body of Christ with everybody that I'm hearing from. It's like I try and things fall apart. It's more than just the recession. It's more. When you put this thing back in context, that word restore can also be translated repent. It is shub in the Hebrew. It means to return back, to come back in human relationships, of spiritual relationships, to turn back to God. And he said, because you're being plundered because you have violated my ways. The devil has brought things into your life that knowingly or unknowingly, that you're violating the principles of the kingdom of God, and it has caused you to be plundered, to be robbed, to be snared in holes, to be set up in different types of prisons, and yet there was no one to point to the ones in prison and say, repent, because without that repentance and a change, there could be no restoration of them getting out of prison, of getting back what the enemy has stolen, because the Lord allowed it, because we have abandoned his ways. Now, one of the things that we need to understand, and guys, I am guilty of this just as anybody else. of going into autopilot. When you go into autopilot, you live by your instincts. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's bad. That is bad. Why? Because your instincts is your old man. That if you don't allow the Spirit of God to empower your spirit, that you will instinctively resort to getting into the flesh and moving by the old man. And I don't care about the economy. In fact, I've gotten to the place in my own life, I don't care what happened to me in the past. That cannot be an excuse anymore in my life. I've grown up. Years ago when I was more in doing a lot of counseling, and anymore I think the Word of God is the best counselor. If you obey the Word works. And the Holy Spirit, He's our counselor, that as I'm seeking His face and looking into the Word, He's going to begin giving me what I need to work myself out of what I'll find myself into. Amen? But we have got to take responsibility for where we are. If I don't take responsibility, I am not able to give a response to the situations in life. And it doesn't matter if someone hurt me, you know, oh, I'm this way because I was hurt. Okay, how many years ago was that? So now you're hurting everybody else because you were hurt by somebody that is no longer even here. And as long as you don't take responsibility for your response to that hurt, you're still held captive by the person that hurt you. In sharing and growing in grace, I shared about the twins that survived Mangala. And that they blew away the newscaster in 2020. They said for us to go on life, we had to forgive Mangala. Because until we did, we were still captives. We might as well be still sitting in Auschwitz. How many prisons do we have in our lives because we will not take responsibility that, yes, it was wrong for what they did, but I also responded incorrectly. I didn't fall over onto the grace of God for healing and restoration. I choose bitterness. I choose unforgiveness. And so I let the wound of the past define the way that I'm living now, and I'm still in prison, and now I am a carrier of that virus that wounded me. I am now wounding the people around me with the very same type of virus, so that I perpetuate this generational curse that goes on from generation to generation to generation, because we perpetuate it. I was wounded. I wound those that are around me. When they get older, they wound those around them. It is time to put a stop to it. We have got to lay the axe to the root and take responsibility. I am responsible to forgive that individual. I am responsible to let that go. And I am responsible to begin seeking the face of God to bring healing and restoration so that I am one that can flow in the body as a healer, not as a wounder. Now that may be a hard word. And I may know that you can't write a check to get that taken care of. It takes a pound of flesh. And I can speak from personal experience. It takes a pound of flesh. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. How many are tired of the past holding you back? I'm tired of the devil holding me back. I'm tired of circumstances holding me back. Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, which are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, at least around here, we know enough of the word to know under the law means to be one who has violated the law. How many know in Christ, I'm not under the law, I don't violate the law, I walk the law by the power of the Spirit of God in my life. But I want you to notice here, he says, you guys have got to get off cruise control. You need to quit walking by the flesh. And anytime that you do not consciously and prayerfully engage in life, you are going to resort back to the old man. The new man, who you really are in Christ Jesus, it takes effort to walk in it. It takes a conscious quality decision that I'm going to walk in it, and anything raises up that is opposing it in me, I must crucify it. How many know crucifixion doesn't happen by itself? You've got to grab the culprit, you've got to put it on the cross, and you've got to nail that thing to the cross. That is an act of your will. It doesn't happen automatically. You've got to do it because you have chosen to follow the Spirit of God. You have chosen to follow the kingdom of God, and you have chosen to walk another path. That's one of the reasons the devil is counting on your habits. Because your old habits are based upon the old man. And they are absolutely entrenched in you. As you begin walking the kingdom, it's like you're trying to establish a new habit, a new pattern. And even in neurology, within your mind, it will actually create new branches within your mind, but they're very thin. Because the more you use them, the stronger they get. And your old man is about like a 10-lane highway. It's actually got a nylon sheath on the inside of it that protects it. And if you start going back to the old pattern, it'll actually, in your brain, it will raise up and it will devour those new neural pathways. It takes 3 years to absolutely starve the other one out by constantly doing the new one. It's that. So when Paul said the old man constantly fights after the new man, absolutely, to the place that it will eat the new habits you're trying to form in the kingdom of God if you allow yourself to go back on autopilot. That we have got to reinforce, and every day we have got to constantly choose. And the great thing about this, guys, is there is a heavenly window or portal open to us that's open right now, that's going to be here for the next year, that God says, if you want things to turn around in your life, I'm going to give you the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit first to hear me and then to implement what I'm telling you. I don't know about you, but I mean, that's like gravy, you know. But and the passage has been struggling to hear from God, struggling to get these things implemented. God says, if you'll put effort into it, I will allow the anointing of the kingdom of God to flow through you to destroy the old things that have you walking in the wrong direction and to empower the new things to get you going in the right direction. Now, this may sound deep, but to get the turnaround anointing, you may have to turn around. You might just have to turn around because the devil and the flesh have you walking the wrong way. Over and over again, Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The word says that if you're born of God, those that are the sons of God hear the Spirit of God. That we, if we have made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of our lives, we can choose to hear God. All of a sudden, free will is being restored. People think when you start walking with God and following the commandments that you lose free will. You finally get to gain free will because finally you have a choice to do the right thing. You have a choice to do righteousness. Before you were in prison and that thing held you captive where all you could do is hurt those around you, destroy your life, sabotage anything that was good in your life. And now Jesus, because he has set you free, says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now you choose. He can only say that to a free people. Moses and Joshua did not say that to the children of Israel until after they got out of Egypt. They were delivered. Because I have been delivered in Christ, I can choose to turn around. And God is saying, you now have an open heaven that if you choose to do it, heaven is going to back you up. I don't know about you, but this is awesome for me because I've been in ministry for quite a while. I've been in ministry since I was 13. I have never seen heaven do this. I've seen you've got to fast and pray and pray and fast and fast and pray and dig and struggle and grab the old man and wrestle him to the ground and beat him down, and he beats you up and you roll around with him, and most of the time he gets the better of you. How many have done that? God is saying that the same anointing that can flow through us to heal the sick, the same anointing that is in preaching the Word of God, that same anointing that can make the blind see and the deaf hear, God is saying that if you will tap into me and you just begin to cry out, I want that turnaround anointing, God said he was going to give you the supernatural ability to hear him and to systematically implement what he's telling you in your life. Now, you have to have the turnaround anointing before you can have the breakthrough anointing. You need to write this down. Breakthrough is for those that are going in the right direction. How many have ever just hit a wall? Now, what if it's a retaining wall because you've wandered off the highway and there's a cliff? A lot of believers are right there, and instead of saying, do I need a course correction, they're sitting there sowing seeds, believing God for a breakthrough. And if God would give them a breakthrough, they would plunge to their deaths. When God is saying, you don't need a breakthrough, you need to turn around and go back to where you're supposed to be. You're about 50 miles off course in your life, and you're in the enemy's territory. One of the things I have found when I was in the military, they taught you the difference when you were in friendly territory and enemy territory, and you had to conduct yourself a whole lot different when you're in enemy territory, and unless you were on a mission, your mission was to get out of enemy territory. And we're so far into enemy territory that we don't know it because we've been following the flesh. We've been doing everything I want to say this real nice. I don't want to say that has been spewed over Christian television by those who do not follow the kingdom of God, but follow after Gnosticism, that are building their own kingdoms. That everything they say tickles the flesh. When was the last time you ever heard for a call of repentance on Christian television? You don't need to change. God loves you just the way you are. And write that check right now and send it to P.O. Box. Keep your money! Turn your life around! And then when you get turned around, if God tells you to give, give! But it's going to be with a long laundry list of a lot of other stuff you got to do to get yourself turned around. A breakthrough anointing is when you're heading in the right direction. You're exactly where Almighty God wants you to be, and then the enemy has put a blockade in your way from fulfilling your divinely orchestrated mission from Almighty God. Then you need a breakthrough to get out, so that you can reach the destination God has had for you. And you better know the difference between a blockade and a safety wall. Because most of the time, what God has done is, out of his grace, he has kept his hand that you're running into. And instead of turning around, you're believing for a breakthrough. And then people get mad at God when they don't get one. Why sowed and I did this and I didn't get a breakthrough? That's it, I'm leaving God. When it was his grace, it was his very hand that kept you from going off the cliff. And yet no one says restore. They say sow. Get your breakthrough, sow. Get your breakthrough, sow. Now, how many know I'm into giving? I give quite a bit. But I give in obedience to God, not because somebody promised me the world if I gave. And it's going to be a cure. Giving is not a cure-all. Obedience is. Selah, think about that for a minute. Obedience is the cure-all. If you repent and do what God tells you to do, you'll walk yourself out of the situation that you're in. Now, one of the things I have found spiritually, whenever you start a new business, a realtor will tell you there are three principles to a successful business. Location, location, location. There are three principles for success in the kingdom of God. Location, location, location. Are you at where the devil put you, or are you at where God put you? If you're at where God put you, you're in the perfect, your position for miracles, your position for turnarounds, your position for breakthroughs, your position to great revelation, your position to have a better marriage, a better family, to have health in your body, to be able to hear what you need from God to go the next level. But if you're in the devil's territory, the only thing that God can tell you is restore, teshub, to repent and to return to that which you know in your spirit is true, not your flesh. Now, this is not going to be what I call the Holy Ghost whammy. You know what that is? I'm going to come lay hands on you, and this is going to be an event, and this event will forever change your life. How many know those things very seldom ever happen? And even when they do, I'm a student of the old revivals, of the healing revivals, under Oral Roberts and a lot of them, and yes, I believe it was of God. But you have a guy that was sick on the point of death. God supernaturally heals him, unclogs his arteries, drives cancer out of his body, whatever the case may be. I have seen people that their knees were fused together with arthritis that if you would try to straighten them, you would actually snap their legs, okay? There was that fused. God supernaturally restored their joints that they were running and leaping and praising God, but they never shubed. They never returned back to the things of God. All they were able to do is go back and do the same sinful things they were doing without the pain. And 5 years later, they were back in a wheelchair. That's not God's best. God's best is getting you to the place that you never, ever, ever get in a wheelchair again. That you never have a place where you can have resentment and different things in your body. That in psychology, we know that if you have resentment and unforgiveness, it will literally cause the lubricants to dry up in your joints. It will cause arthritis. Now, I'm not saying all arthritis is caused by that, but why throw gasoline on a fire? That as I begin walking in the kingdom of God, I position my body, I position my mind, I position my relationships, I position my finances, I position my home, I position my business, I position my ministry for the blessings of God, and blessings is more than money. How many know that the peace of God is worth more than $1 million? To have a husband and wife madly in love with each other is more worth more than gold. To have children that grow up that are strong, that end up having good lives because they begin making the right decisions and not all the stupid decisions that we made when we were young. Come on now. I'm still trying to overcome all the stupidity I did in my late teens, my early 20s. They still haunt me. I would like my children not to do that. I would like my grandchildren never to do that. Amen. The only way to do that, I've got to get it right. And so what I'm going to give you this morning are some tasks that God is going to, as I seek heaven, heaven is going to start talking. As you seek God, he's going to, and there may be what I call some serendipity into this. You'll be seeking God and somebody say, hey man, I heard this sermon, you ought to hear it. Or, have you read this book? Let me tell you something. In those type of things, there's no such thing as coincidence in the kingdom of God. The God will open up doors. He will open up situations to begin. He will make sure that if you're seeking His face, He's going to give you the information. Now, the one thing you're going to do is have to start asking God for a turnaround anointing. You have an open door to this. This is almost like all you got to do is ask. God, start giving me a turnaround anointing. Well, how many times am I going to have to ask that every morning for the next year? Now, don't tell me that's hard, because how many kids have asked mom and dad for something 10,000 times? Sometimes in the same situation, especially when they're little. Can I have it? No. Can I have it? No. Can I have it? No. Please? No. Oh, pretty please? No. Oh, pretty please with sugar on top? No. Well, can I have it? No. 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 How about now? No. I'm standing over here. How about now? No. I'm standing over here. How about now? No. Now, Jesus said, to come into the kingdom of God, you have to come in as a little child. Uh-oh. Can I have it? No. Can I have it? No. Can I have it now? No. Can I have it? You know what he's doing? He's seeing if you really want it or not. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Can I have it now? Mike Lake said that there's no window. Can I have it now? Let's see how bad you want it. What I have found is the deeper the revelation, the harder I've got to seek for it. They're the deeper things in me. I will go from superficial, and I see they work, and what it does is it causes you to press in to dig deeper. Be ready to hear what God tells you. The pleasant things and the hard things. Because the Spirit of God not only wants to tell you what he wants to do in your life, he's also going to tell you how stupid you've been. He does me. Mike, you shouldn't have really done this way. Can you see? Look at the decisions that you made and the attitude you have, and look where it got you. You see, the only way that you can turn around is recognize those attitudes, recognize those habits that got you there, and see them for what they really are, so that they repulse you and begin building new habits. He's got to show us the good, the bad, and the ugly. And what we want is, all we want is pleasant. God, tell me how you're going to bless me. But then we won't let him to tell us the correct course corrections that we need to walk into that blessing. Let me show you how vital this is. One of the things the rabbis teach is that in the 6 days of creation, God created the heaven and earth. He created everything he was going to create. He created it all. From that point on, the Bible says God sat down. He's not created another thing. Since the sixth day, God has not created another thing. And you can say, well, yeah, but he created the plan of salvation. Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God knew during the 6 days of creation, Adam was going to fall. He was going to have to go to the cross. All these different things, all that was a part of the 6 days of creation. Every answer to every prayer that you will ever pray in your life, he created the answer for in the 6 days of creation. Men and women that have gone to heaven, several of them, and this is from more than one witness, have said they've walked into a warehouse and there were arms and legs and eyeballs and hearts and all kinds of different things. And they said, what is that? Well, this is the warehouse that we're waiting for God's people to ask for these things. That, in other words, God created, whether the healing that they needed in their bodies, i.e., you know, a restored limb or whatever, or that miracle was already created on the 6 days of creation. As far as God is concerned, it's a done deal. But what he's done is he has this road that's called his perfect will for your life, and he positions those things in your life only on that road. And so that if I'm obedient in this journey and I'm walking with God, Jesus, the call from Jesus was, come walk with me and I will make you. When God showed up to Abraham, he said, come walk before me. Abraham, I have created, in the 6 days of creation, I created everything in you that you needed to be the man of faith that I could call my friend. And I have set it in your path that if you walk with me, I'm going to walk you into it. But when the devil wants to get you to walk in the flesh, because you're going to walk right by your miracle. You're going to walk right by or in the wrong direction that you'll never walk into what God wants in your life. That's why it's so important to have that turnaround anointing, because from before creation, the things that you needed to prepare you for the days ahead, God already put in the path of his divine purpose in your life. And as then this year is the year of getting back on that path so that you can walk into them, not around them. That is why the devil does so much to get you in the flesh, to get you not praying the way that you should, so that you go back to habits and instinct of the old man, because it will cause you to miss revelation knowledge. It will cause you to miss answers to prayer. It will cause you to miss the opportunities to restore your family, restore your health, restore your business, because you can only walk into them by following the Spirit of God. That's why God tells us, walk in the Spirit. Walk in that Spirit, and everything that... How many know the law... Have you read Deuteronomy 28? You're blessed going in, you're blessed going out. You're blessed in the city, you're blessed in the field. You will lend unto many and borrow from none. All those things, and none of the diseases I put on Egypt will be on you. All that is in that path of blessings of obedience to God. But if I'm not walking that path, I will never have them. Because the last half of Deuteronomy is everything the devil has put in your path that he has planned for you. Selah. The devil has created sickness and destruction of your family and destruction of your finances and destruction of your body and destruction of your family. And when I'm following the path he has set for me by the old man, I will walk right into every one of those. So, God is going to share the pleasant things with you. He's going to share the hard things with you. You need to get a notebook or some 3x5 cards. Carry them with you all the time. And when God tells you something, write it down. This seems simple. But the devil's lie is, I'll remember it later. That is the devil's lie. I'll remember it later. My best sermons I have never preached because I thought, I'll write it down when I get a chance. And then when I got a chance, I looked and my mind was as blank as the paper. Now, what I usually carry one of these little moleskins with me all the time. And if it's something significant, because I keep in here stuff I'm supposed to do and stuff that I've done to kind of keep a journal. But anytime that God tells me something, I flag it. And I've been writing it down on a 3x5 card. And I got a wall of remembrance that I've begun building in my office at home. That every one of those 3x5 cards I am now sticking up on the wall, that every morning I go to my wall of remembrance to begin gauging if I'm still on course with what God told me. And I review it every morning. This is what God told me to do. Am I doing it? This is the attitude God told me to develop. Am I successfully developing that attitude? Because the moment that God tells you to develop it, the devil's going to loose everything he can in your life to keep you in the old attitude because he wants you to walk off the cliff. Review it often. Review what God tells you often and systematically implement those things into your lives. I mean with a vengeance, systematically implement them into your lives. Now, I've got one in my life right now that is going to be, and that's why I'm not wearing a jacket this morning. How many know I'm a fat boy? Okay. I jumped on the scale yesterday, and it said two things, 300 and get off. One of the things that I'm going to walk into is a lighter Mike Lake this year. And how many know that when you do that, there are choices you got to make? When they bring the donut, you got to say sycamore sai, pass it on by. You got to watch what you eat. You got to exercise and do the right things consistently. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. And this last year, there's a lot of things. I've got more busy in ministry. I spend more time sitting down than I do standing up, trying to get everything done. And since March of last year, I went from 260 to 300. And my plan is by the end of this year, I'd like to be at around 230. I'd be happy. My doctor would be happy. I got clothes. I got all kinds of clothes I can reintroduce myself to that don't have the elastispan bands that go out like this when you pull on them. My car will be happier. And so as I do some things during this year, I want to make sure that everybody, this is my benchmark for me. I'm putting it on video. It's going to be put on YouTube so that when I do another video in March, they're going to see the difference. No coat. When I do one in July, they're going to see the difference. So I'm held. There's accountability. And it may be with your husband and wife, you can say, what has God been sharing with you? And begin sharing and trying to hold each other accountable, not in a condemning way, but in an encouraging way, which may be new behavior for some of us. We like to go, ah, ha, 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 I caught you doing that. Instead of Instead of being the cheerleader, come on, you can do it. I know you fell down, but we're going to pray, and I'm going to pick you up, and we're go, go, go. That's the type of attitude, not the aha. I knew you were going to eat that donut. Pray for me. Okay. We got to begin responding. A husband and wife team should encourage one another. The Bible says that we're to encourage and push each other forward in the Lord, not dragging each other back. Be determined you're going to do this. Be quick to listen. Be consistent. And become victorious. Consistency. How many know that if you do the right thing long enough, that you've sown enough seed in everything that you do, that you'll quit reaping the old crop and start reaping the new? And if you consistently demand of yourself over and over and over and over again to do the right thing, it becomes the new habit, and eventually it will become what you do when you're on autopilot. That you will destroy the old thing. The old habit, the old sinful old man habit will atrophy and will die and fall away, and the new habit of righteousness becomes that six-lane highway in your life that you automatically gravitate back toward. But it only does it by conscious effort now and hard work. Six, it's going to take a while. How many know that I can't pray and be 230 pounds in the morning? I can't fast for a day and be 230 pounds in the morning. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a while. This is a year event, guys. God says for the next 12 months, if you do this consistently, it's going to blow you away where you're going to be this time next year. You may have some lions to fight. You may have some Philistines that it's time for you to pick up the jawbone of a donkey. You may have a giant that all you got is a sling and a rock. And you're going to run across these this year. But if the anointing is there, you're going to bring them down. Maybe for the first time in your life, you're going to bring them down. Never to get back up again. And when you get it down, remember what David did. When Goliath hit the ground, the next thing David did is take the guy's sword and cut his head off. How many know that you can pop a guy between the eyes of the rock and he may get back up, but once you sever that head, he ain't getting back up. Show the devil no mercy. You show people mercy, but you never show a devil or a demon mercy. You never show the flesh mercy. How many know it is a merciless act to crucify something? And God said, crucify the flesh. God, this year, guys, God wants you to be like David. He wants you to have a rock in your sling, and he wants to see you take down giants. God wants to see you take a donkey of a jawbone and kill all the Philistines that are trying to devour your life. He wants to see you be able to kill a lion with your bare hand spiritually. All the things that have been haunting you, that have been holding you back, that cause you sabotage, it's time for it to die at your hands and for you to go on. And there's a lot of ministers right now that would do true ministry, not the greasy grace, it's all about money ministry, but the ones who really will preach the Word of God with integrity, and that follow the Spirit of God, that are setting back on the sidelines because all the other is like a vortex that sucks up all the resources out of the body of Christ so that real ministry can't flow, that's going to turn around this year too. We're going to start seeing the somebodies become nobodies and a lot of nobodies become somebodies in the kingdom of God. This isn't Hollywood. It's about really walking in the kingdom. And I'm about ready for some Samuels to be loosed in the kingdom of God. I'm ready for some John the Baptist to be loosed in the kingdom of God. And some Pauls to be loosed in the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul would not tolerate 90% of what's going on in the body of Christ right now. He would not tolerate it. He would sit down, he said, not only, it'd be like in Ephesus. You know, in Ephesus, after he taught 2 years, they brought all their occultic items and they burned them at the feet of the Apostle. There would also be a whole lot of church wear and church programs and church dogma and church doctrines that have infiltrated that come from the New Age movement that have come from the pits of hell that have been preached so long we now think it's orthodoxy would have to be burnt at the apostles' feet. I want to see that done, guys. We got a job to do. The Antichrist is in the midst of rising, and that calls for the body of Christ to be a whole lot stronger than they've ever been before. God's going to loose it in our lives. This is the Holy Ghost is going to come in like a coach in a level that you have never had before in your lives. That daily he's going to give you insights. Daily he's going to give you new power. Daily he's going to give you your spiritual vitamins and your Gatorade and everything that you need to do. And every time you fall down, he's going to be there to pick you up, to dust you off, and say, go get him again. I remember when Jonathan with the motel on him with the boys that were that had moved into his neighborhood and everything. And they're used to being boys and fighting and ruckusing and everything. And him being an old child, he's never done that. And so this one was getting after him, and he looked at the guy's dad and said, you know, what am I going to do? And the dad looked at Jonathan about his own son and said, sounds to me like you need to whoop him, boy. And there's going to be a lot of times you're looking to God, and God says, you know what? It's time for you to stand up and whoop what has been harassing you and taunting you and holding you back. It's time to raise up in my power and to whoop him. And to find out that I have given you armor and that I have given you battle array to dress yourself in, to take on the enemy. And that when he feels your hand hit him, he's going to feel the might and the power of God in you hitting him when he goes down. Think about that. That's what was flowing through Samson, was the might and the power of God. He picked up doors and carried them off to the city that they were, I think, 12 or 15 feet tall and about 6 inches thick, and he carried them, flipped them on his shoulders and carried them off. When they woke up the next morning, they didn't have any gates to their city because one man carried them off. It was the power of Almighty God flowing through his flesh. The Bible says, if that same Spirit which rose Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken or make alive your mortal bodies. It's time to be like Rocky in the situations of life. But you got to listen to your coach. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you guys what you need in unprecedented ways. Ways that will shock you. Ways that will make you step back and say, well, that had to be God because ain't no other way that could have been done. That's what we're on the edge of, and God says, all you got to do is ask. All you got to do is ask. Jesus said, ask and keep asking, and it will be given to you. Knock and keep knocking, and the door shall be open. Heaven's calling for us to begin bombarding the gates of heaven, asking for this anointing. I have never felt such anticipation in my spirit in my life. Well, Zedek was while sitting in a position that says, you know what? It's going to take some miracles. It's going to take some miracles. But what a better place to be than heaven saying, believe me, and a Holy Spirit-inspired anticipation in your spirit when you're faced with situations that you need miracles. Father God, we just thank you this morning for your word. Father, I thank you that your word will not return to us to you void, but it will accomplish whereunto you have sent it. Father, I ask that everyone that listens to this will enter into that time of asking for a turnaround anointing. Father, this is now a season, this is a time that we have an open heaven. And Father, right now we petition heaven. Father, we call for that turnaround anointing. Father, we call for revelation knowledge from heaven. Father, we call for what we need to get every situation turned around and for us to get positioned in your perfect will. And Father, we bind up the devil and we tell the flesh, you be silent in the name of Jesus. And we crucify the flesh. But Father, we choose this morning to walk in the Spirit of God. Father, we thank you. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.